Sunday morning, January 31st.
Lord, we ask for the blessings, O Lord, the blessings of your Spirit to visit us.
Yes.
Your Spirit of truth, your Spirit of life, your Spirit of love. The Spirit, O Lord, that illuminates your word. That would be with us this morning, O Lord. That it would open our ears, that it would enlighten our tongue, Lord. Oh, that your Spirit would just flow. Flow in every way, Lord. Oh, flow. And that we might be manifestations of your love through your truth. That we might speak the truth in love.
Yes.
That would be what we are.
Yes.
Oh, do that good work in us, Mom.
Yes.
Yes.
By
your Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have plenty to say. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, maybe, I don't know if it's a perfect will of God. But the thing about it is that, remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He didn't say a Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. And God kept saying several times, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I don't know that I've never ever heard him say that about me. And I'm not so sure I ever heard him say it about anybody else.
Right.
And the thing about the sacrifices, and there's a reason that I'm bringing that up, is that when they sacrificed their lambs or their bulls or whatever it was, there was something that they were required to do. And it's not that they always did, because they got in trouble because they didn't. But when they picked out a lamb to sacrifice, it had to be the best one they had. And so when God found the sacrifice he wanted, his only begotten Son, the best he had.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to give the best.
No, no.
We'd rather give, you know, that was one of the problems that Jesus was talking about, some of the rich people of his day. And the poor woman that came, the woman that came in and just gave a mite, what it was called, a very small amount. He said she has given more than all the rest of them have. Because out of their abundance they've given, but out of her want she gave.
Yes.
And it's not in the human mind to say, well, I'm going to give a sacrifice, but I'm going to give the best of what I got. And it goes against our common sense, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to save the best for me, you know,
mm-hmm.
or for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't see it that way. He said, if you love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your whatever it is, then you give the best. And it doesn't mean that the rich have to give everything they have. It might not even be money. It might be just their time or whatever it is. But we you know. And when Jesus told the rich young ruler, he says, go and sell all that you have. He didn't say that to everybody. But because the thing that mattered to this man was what he had. And the tax collector, the little guy, I can just think of a Leith on the end. What was his name?
Levi?
Pardon?
Was it Levi? No.
Matthew? Oh, yeah, I think he was. What did he do?
The tax collector that was in the tree?
Yeah.
What was the little guy up in the tree?
Zacchaeus.
And Zacchaeus was very rich. And he says, I'll give half of what I have to the poor and all these things. And Jesus says, he has done what is required, you know. But he still had a lot. You know what I mean? That's the way God sees things. It's like he wants, you know, a living sacrifice. The best of what we have.
Yes.
The best of what we are. He wants us. And I got, you know, thinking about the sacrifices this morning and, you know, of the Old Testament things, and I was thinking of Jacob and Esau, and just a little while ago, I read where Jacob and Esau met. Jacob was afraid that Esau was going to kill him and everybody else, you know, his whole family. But Esau, in 20 years, had done a lot of thinking, and he was extremely glad to see Jacob, whose name had been changed to Israel. And Jacob didn't expect it. But God had done a work in him. But anyway, it broke me up, you know, and I don't think I've ever read it, that part of it, and just see what God had done. But present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, perfect. Which is a reasonable service. Why did he have to put that in there? Then the second verse, it says, you know, I get sitting here, it says, and be not conformed by the renewing of your mind. And I thought, you know, God has done a miraculous thing in us. And he's given us some kind of an understanding of the value of the constant intake of his word. Because he says in Hebrews, in two different places, it says God's going to make a new covenant after he's removed the first covenant, which is the law. And in this covenant, he's going to write his word in our minds and in our hearts. And you know, that's a phenomenal promise. And of course, a lot of people don't realize the value of God's word, so it doesn't really register. But God is doing that supernaturally by the intake of his word. God's word is being written inside of us. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That is renewing our mind. It doesn't mean that we act perfect all the time. That's not even the thing, but it is changing us. I am being changed by the Word of God. And I am I thank God for it.
You know, it is like those phylacteries that they wore in the old covenant. His word right in front of their eyes, you know, have this arrangement where you get the God's word there right in your field of vision. Well, we keep listening, and it is like a phylactery. And I think, you know, we can be a little scornful of the phylacteries. Jesus didn't have good things to say about phylacteries. But nonetheless, the idea behind them, it's not like it, oh, you got it all taken care of now. You got your phylactery in place. That's not it. But to have his word ever before our eyes, what that is a good, good thing. And it, I think it is, again, in the nature of eating, not bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what it is like, whatever.
The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And I don't know, I'm going to make light of it, but we may for the eternity be looking at millions of scriptures written, you know, somewhere in the heavens. And so it would be good to get used to it now.
Wouldn't it be funny if the feast, you know, the feast that we've sung about and everything, come and dine, the master said, come and dine, you know. Wouldn't it be funny if we sat down to that feast table and saw all the things that were in the bowls and plates and platters and serving dishes and whatever be God's word?
Yeah, it wouldn't be funny. It would be good.
That'd be well. Let's hope it would. We'd see it as being good. I suppose there'd be some who said, I was looking forward to something a little different. But wouldn't it be grand if we said, this is what I wanted to eat. This is it. Can't think of anything better to eat than this. You know?
That's what our spirit says.
Yeah, it takes the spirit.
Is hungry.
I'm thinking if you got invited to that dinner table, there wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too.
Amen. No, the natural man says,
I don't know if I want to be invited.
Whatever it is, we're going to love it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
We were talking about phylacteries and how wonderful it is to have the Word of God right there in front of us. I guess I just wanted to, I agree with everything that's brought. I want to add that while it's good to have the Word in front of us, it's better to have it in your heart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Jesus was taking his comments about not being overly happy with the outward, physical, natural man way of demonstrating to everybody just how in the Word you were, mm-hmm. he was pointing out that they really weren't in, they didn't have the Word in their hearts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And we need that if we're truly going to love each other the way we're supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only way our spirit is going to grow and overcome our flesh. by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. A little thing just popped in my head that I heard the other day about David. We always just say he was a man after God's own heart. But there's a bigger thing there. And he always does my will.
Mm-hmm.
I never pick up on that part of that verse. He always, either he always does or he always is in my will or whatever. I don't know the exact words, but it just, I always, you know, the first part is always so cool, you know, like a man after my own heart, but I don't know where I would find all this, but.
It doesn't make sense. And based upon some of the crazy mistakes that David made, you know, but he was a man after God's heart. But I mean, look at some of the dumb things he did, you know. And but you know what? There was a thing about David that really stands out, and you can see it in the Psalms, and that is that. There was a repentant life and attitude that lived with him. He lived in repentance. And even when he did something that was unforgivable as far as we would look at it. And with Bathsheba and Uriah, mm-hmm. her husband, how could that be forgiven? And it's almost like it never existed because of his repentance. And so what shows us that anything can be repented of and forgiven. But the heart has to be with it. I mean, it can't be off the top of your head or something. You're trying to get away with something. It don't work. It's got to be the right inward frame of mind and attitude, you know? And that's who David was. You can see that in the Psalms.
You know, you think of what he did with Bathsheba, and you do, at least to begin with, have a hard time squaring that with the notion that he was always in God's will. But his manner of repentance, I mean, we wouldn't see his manner of repentance if he hadn't pulled that stunt there. And so maybe it truly was his throughout it, in some kind of funny way, a manifestation of God's will.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that has puzzled me in that whole situation was that Solomon was a result of their relationship, and yet the lineage goes through Solomon.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that would work, but with God, God does whatever He does, and it's, you know.
Yeah, we have a lamb without blemish. Well, in some quarters, that would be looked on as a blemish in this lamb.
How'd Bonnie do it? Did she have an operation?
Bonnie's doing well.
Oh, okay.
She was home the same day of the operation and was eating. that got put out on the text wire. I'm sorry you didn't. I didn't say something to you Tuesday.
I didn't get that text.
I thought we had talked about it. So, but you know, that's a few days back, and maybe we don't recall that. We, you know, Barb had a good report.
Yeah, 2020 mission?
With glasses, yeah. Mm-hmm. I still have a stitch that has to come off.
Any truth to the rumor that you've got a new nickname called Eagle Eye?
Well.
With glasses on.
If the Lord so sees fit.
Yeah, well, I put that out there and let you guys know. She forgot to mention the glasses part.
Yeah.
I was about to put it out there before I got all the information.
Well, corrected in 2020.
Yes.
Without. That means you're
saying. Yes. It was one of the more difficult surgeries I've had. And she had to scratch my eye to get some stuff out. And that was not pleasant. But that has pretty much healed now, so.
And you have stitch in there.
Yeah, they're still stitched. I have to have taken out. And she tried to readjust the lens that had moved. So it was a little more than what she expected in me to.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what was your eyesight before the, what was your eyesight doing?
Before any of the surgery?
Well, with the glasses, but before the surgery, what were?
I don't remember, but it was difficult to even watch TV. Or to get in a car.
So 2020 with glasses is really an improvement.
It's really good.
It's a total improvement, absolutely. I don't have that where I get sick to my stomach riding in the car because of the motion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's gotten a lot better. It's not 100%, but it's I can tolerate now. Before, it was just torture to ride in the car.
We have a good God.
Yes, we do. I praise him for all he's done.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yep. In past weeks, I've noticed it's amazing to me how much he has changed me. You know, just by little tiny things that he's done. My reactions are so different than they would have been before. Or if my reaction is not pleasing, he'll bring it to me, and I can change it quickly. It's such a quick work.
Yes.
And I am so thankful.
Amen.
I can even love my enemies now sometimes.
Well, wait a minute. Either you do or you don't.
Well, there's sometimes when I have to still check myself. But, yeah, no. He's doing a miraculous work.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hmm. We have some neighbor at the camp now when we were camping. Her husband passed away a year ago. And now she was found out, and we need to pray for her when we do the praying today. She had cancer before, lung cancer, and it was recessed, and all of a sudden it's come back on her. And
well,
that's not good.
She was cancer free for 7 years.
Yeah.
And now it's back even in the same area, her lungs. So. But I'm praying, and I think the Lord is using it so that she can come to the Lord. Because
yes.
She won't have to depend upon him.
Right.
And she came to our house, which she does not do because she's so afraid of the COVID thing. But she stopped, and that's kind of a miracle in my book, that she even did that, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like people are just kind of starting to reach out to us, you know, from the neighbor lady to us,
mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's Connie, and, you know, I'm thinking, maybe this is God's plan, maybe we're supposed to be doing, I don't know.
Mm.
But, you know,
he's bringing them to us.
Okay. Hmm. But we can only do it in God's hands and see where it goes. that's why we weren't here last Sunday, is because the neighborhood had came over, and Jill, she just needed somebody to talk to, and, you know. So, in a way, it was a ministering thing, because like, I believe you prayed for her. But, you know,
yes, I prayed for her.
Well, she's done this.
Kind of witnessed to her a little bit. She's Catholic, but I still witnessed to her, and I gave her a book for the kids to read, a Bible book that I had. And she read it, and she said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It's a children's story. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe it's not the kids. Maybe it's her you're going to be. So, God is so good.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and we switched our thing Tuesday things in the afternoon, and I think it was really great. It worked out really great for me. But Tuesday night, when I got home, or when I went to bed, some things came to my mind again on this thing that I wrote about the grocery bag. Or, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, here's chapter two, you know. And it kind of picked off where he was putting what I needed in one basket and shoving all of what I wanted away. And it revealed to me that all those things he's shoving away, each one he shoved away was a removal of one sin out of my life. You know. And that was revealed to me Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. You know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the story apparently isn't done yet.
Good shopping trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And it continues.
It's gentle of him, just choosing not to bang some of the things you send down the belt.
Yep. And you know, once it gets to the beggar, you're built for that.
Right.
Well, I paid for those things. That's another way to look at it.
Jesus
paid
for
it. They're all wrong.
Yeah. Oh my. Huh.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And we need to pray for our neighbor Don's daughter Betsy. She's
cancer again.
She's got cancer again, Dad. It's in her spine, or on her spine, and it's just, we need to keep lifting Betsy up. We do at home a lot, you know. And I guess the older you get, the more you realize you got a lot of friends out there that need prayer. You know?
Mm-hmm.
In your younger day, talking about myself, of course, you know, prayer was nothing that I bothered with a lot of people. You just took it and went, you know? No. Becoming more of a major part.
Yep.
I think especially since we know we're getting very close to end times, those people, it's getting more desperate to get them to the Lord.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to lift up Ken here too high, but he has kind of set an example to me for praying for other people's situation that I realized I'd fallen short in, you know, as far as, you know, there's somebody that is in need of prayer. It's, hey, pray for that one. Don't need necessarily to be reminded of it. Just come to your mind, go ahead and pray for that one. And I realized, you know, there was I've been deficient in that, and I want the Lord to have that be something that I do. When there is that one that needs my prayer, pray for that one.
Taj even said this week that if it hadn't been for the prayers, she probably would not have gotten through half the stuff that she's had to go through. And she said that in front of people that I don't know if they were Christian or not.
Yeah.
So,
well, she's
become to realize.
Yeah, if it's on your heart, you got to say it, because you don't know if that's what God wants you to do, because that one person in that group,
right,
it might affect that one person. You know?
That's right.
You just, you know, and I've been watching this to her, and it just seems like, and I'm not going to build your up, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to do. And I keep watching her, and all of a sudden she starts praying for people like Joanne did, you know? And I'm thinking, are you getting the Spirit, Joanne? You know?
No, the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, from Joanne's perspective, you know. But it's like, you know, and you've known you a long time, and you don't normally do that. You're not free to do that, but all of a sudden you get more free in it. And I'm thinking, that's more than I can do at this point, but I'm glad she's doing it, you know. Reaching out and just praying for people, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I wonder, what the heck are you doing? You know, I'm honest here. I mean, I do. I mean, it's like.
I think that's why I didn't do it before, because I was more concerned about what people would think about me, but I don't care anymore.
I understand, Clem.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's.
And I'm old now, so I don't care what people think.
That's right.
You know, I think because my prayers had been, you know, I knew I needed to have even just a little tiny bit of love, because I was really lacking. And then I started reading, you know, or realizing, and the Spirit was doing this, but it just started making my brethren so important.
Oh, yes.
Because that's the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that supersedes anything in this world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it supersedes, and I don't want to, you know, be dark about this, but it supersedes family, normal friendships. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are the most important thing, you know, with the word and everything. You know what I'm saying? But in your walk. And so then all of a sudden I started putting that little bit of burden on my heart, because I was starting to feel more for them, because, you know. And so now I want to try to look at people that I feel are sincere in the Lord. I don't care what they're likes and dislikes are, their political affiliations, whatever. If they're professing Jesus Christ and trying to do what God wants, then that's my brethren, and that's what I want to see. You know, and that's a work of the Lord, definitely. But if He put it on my heart to pray for it. You know,
yes.
You know, that's an interesting thing. You know, you really can't take credit for anything.
No. You didn't think to pray. You did not put it on your
heart. Right. And so that's what He does, you know? And of course He knows all this ahead of time too, usually. But yeah, and it's been a good thing. It's helping me. You know, I was thinking when we were talking about the Word and it's eternal and everything. And the interesting thing is, if you're in the Word as much as you can be, you know, it really points out all your weaknesses. But what I'm noticing lately, it's not condemning them. God has a sweet way of convicting, you know.
Yeah.
And He doesn't say, get it all done today or else. You know, it says the Lord is long-suffering. And He is, obviously, or we'd all be wiped out, you know. But, I mean, it's so, that word, it's a gentle way of always reminding me of where I'm not yet, but I don't have to get condemned over it, because there's other parts of the Word that promises He'll get me there. You know, and so you start seeing all those things. And if you weren't in the Word all the time, you'd only see one thing. And that could bring you down, or it could bring you up a little bit, and then all of a sudden you fail. Well, now we're starting to get the whole picture of what he's doing, and the devil's losing ground, you know? His voice doesn't have the effect it has had, you know? And I got that little thing in the spirit about, you know, the devil is not supposed to be treading on us. We're supposed to be treading on serpents. And I think we've let ourselves become trampled on, you know? Mm-hmm. And so God started to give all these little insights. And obviously, sure, will it upset the enemy? Yeah, but who cares, you know?
Right.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, because God's greater.
Amen.
He is greater. And all trials and tribulations, God, you know, it says if you're doing it for Christ, glory in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Paul says. I glory in my tribulations and persecutions and whatever because it's for Christ's sake. You know, so if that's what you're suffering from, now I bring on a lot of my own that's not of Christ, but
he's
it's
still there for you.
Huh?
He's still there for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's starting to be a good thing. Yeah. I'm starting to really want to die to some things just because of, partly because I'm seeing kind of a knowing that maybe the end isn't that far away, you know.
Right. Right.
And it's and I don't want to lose out. And I want to, what I want to be most of all is what God wants me to be.
Amen.
And how He wants to use me, you know, because I know I haven't gotten to that place yet totally. And so anyway, that builds hope, and hope
mm-hmm.
is good, and it builds faith. You know, it's boy, I mean, right now in this day and age, in the coming days, one needs faith. And if we ask God for it, He'll give it, you know? And so, I'm really, really trying to get to the place where I'm not affected by what worldly things are going on. And I do want to get to the place, like Bart said, where I want to love my enemies.
Yes.
You know? And not have anything against anybody, you know?
Right.
Which is a big road to hold.
It is.
You know,
it's hard.
Yeah. But we're not supposed to do it in us, which
right.
is really him.
Before you can love your enemy, you got to forgive them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I was talking about, this thing for the brethren, I think, see, that's in John, 1 John, if you read it. You want to hear about love, man. I mean, every other verse is talking about this brings love, and this
right.
is love, that you
right.
love your brethren. That's a
right.
commandment.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then you're not in God, he said.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's some strong stuff
it's
in there.
Strong, yep.
And it gets repeated continually, and especially in 1 John. And that, I just happened to have been reading that, and it's having an effect. And I like the effect, you know, that I want to consider that.
Well, if you don't love your brethren, you're not in unity with them.
Right, and there is a difference. I mean, brethren isn't everybody in the world,
no.
although you're supposed to love your neighbors. But there's a different thing about your brethren,
mm-hmm.
and that's separate. You know, that's a whole separate thing. And you know, I mean, it's obvious the church is half injuring each other and their own brethren. You know what I mean? Because they don't realize the importance of the body of Christ.
Right, right. The body of Christ, Ken. I'm just so glad you brought that up. It was a number of years ago that somehow I was made to know, you know, if they're Christians, they're all part of the body of Christ, and so therefore, what they do, I'm responsible for, because it's my body, you know, and it was kind of a sobering thought, but I kind of let that go by the by. But so I'm glad you brought that up about the brethren. I have dreams, And my dreams are about people. And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll go, oh, okay. So then I just spend quite a lot of time praying for whoever was in this dream. And I have had recently dreams of people that I am quite separated from, but they are part of the body, you know? And it was like, oh! And so, yeah, we're all, you know, just pray for the unity and to come to truth and love. And
now, there is some qualifying in there, though, because in John, it also says some things about who are actually your brethren.
Yeah.
And it kind of narrows things.
Yes, it can, but you know, if there's someone you did know, you could pray that they would be brought in.
Yes,
yeah,
I mean, for us,
whatever.
We can't judge.
I mean, like, because of course, whatever I think is right, can they're all wrong.
Right. I mean, we can't judge who necessarily that is.
Right.
But we can look for signs.
Yes.
Because in the end, you have to know.
Yeah, you do have to know. You do.
Brethren that are the true body of Christ is, you know.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, though, Paul says, charity believes all things.
Love believes all things.
Believes all things. Now, that cannot literally mean believes all things. But it has to mean has a heart that is capable of changing their natural thinking so as to be willing to believe all things, if that's what the Spirit is leading him to do. I'm real good at identifying those who I think are outside of the true body of Christ. I better not be real good at that. You know, my natural tendency is to, well, they're outside, yeah. But I better not be really good at that. I had better have a great big question mark about who belongs to the real body of Christ and be willing to be corrected on that one.
I think what, this is a tough one, because it's in 2 John 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Right.
Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
Huh.
See, that's what's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I believe that when it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, I think from where I started reading, that's all tied into the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it seems like it's a flowing
thing.
Yes,
it seems like it, yeah.
Seems like the doctrine is to confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and that's strong stuff after you read all the love stuff in 1 John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those are threads in a fabric.
Yeah.
They are threads in a fabric. It's not the whole fabric, though.
Right.
No.
You know,
no.
I mean, but not, we mustn't pretend that those threads aren't there either.
Right.
Right.
But it's not what the whole garment is made out of.
No.
The whole garment includes whatever's there is in 1 John and wherever.
Well, and in other places that it's been standing on me is some of it's Paul and whatever, but it's more than once or twice or three. The prophecy is that you will all become one in mind. You know, you'll all be thinking the same thing and confessing the same thing eventually to be the body of Christ. And that's, yeah, you know, all truth is, and the only way that happens, right, is truth. And the only ones that are going to get truth is if they have a love for the truth. Mm-hmm. And so it starts, you know, getting down to, I mean, why is the body of Christ important? Well, because it's the body that the head sits on,
yes,
which is Christ.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's everything.
Yes.
You know, the disciples or whatever, though, they would have had no trouble in concluding that Saul, who became Paul, was outside of the body of Christ. No trouble at all. I mean, if anybody ever made it clear that they did not have a place in the body of Christ, it was Saul, who became Paul. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why it's both sides.
But eventually, they all,
yes,
right,
yes, they did,
right,
into one mind.
Yep.
You know?
Yes, they did. Yes,
but
they did.
It took some sharpening.
Yeah.
But then, don't forget the older brother. He just kind of got brought in, or the people who were out, just staying around not doing any work, and they only work for a little while, but they still got the same reward. That doesn't make any sense to man. None of that.
No.
Right.
That's all God and spiritual. And, he's a lion, he's a lamb.
Yeah.
He's what we need.
Yep.
Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father.
Yes.
And I was thinking about Glenn and Barb's experience and some of the things they were talking about, and my own as well. Joanne had a tendency a lot of times to embarrass me and the kids. And she was right, we were wrong. And if she was somewhere and she overheard somebody say, boy, I've got this headache, she'd make a beeline over and say, well, let me pray with you. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. If there's any way of confessing Jesus, it's go pray with a stranger.
Uh-huh.
They right away, quickly know who you are.
Uh-huh.
And she was never afraid to or ashamed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. She was not ashamed. She was
ashamed of her Lord.
No. Yeah. And I can't, you know, I won't lie about it. I was embarrassed a few times. And especially when she'd say, would you come over here and pray with me? You know? I mean, out in front of all these people?
That's where they are.
Yeah. But I tell you what, it doesn't take long before people know that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, like that. And
I'm not ashamed to be a Christian.
I've done that, you know. I've heard something, but gone to somebody and said, "Oh, let me pray for you." You know, I haven't been afraid or ashamed to do it, but sometimes it's
inconvenient.
Once you just need a prodding, and we'll have more and more of that.
So long as the Lord is with me, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Ken touched on this earlier, and I think it bears repeating. We have spent an awful lot of time worrying about what we were going to do with what God's given us. It strikes me today that was a real waste of time. Well, first off, why did we think we were going to do, you know, who's in charge? And second of all, why would we lack such faith that not to know that God would do what He wanted us to do?
Yeah.
Why, you know, we spent a lot of time wailing and gnashing of teeth thinking we're driving, and somehow we have to take advantage of this wonderful thing God's done for us. And instead, we've come to keep repeating the sin that we're not in charge.
Mm.
And God will do what he wants us to do. Now, it doesn't give us a pass. I mean, we need to stay in the Word, and we need to seek him. But if we do that, I think that's all we really have to do. And God will...
He'll do the rest.
God will do the rest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's what we want. We don't want to do it.
Well, I'm more just saying, I don't want to think I'm driving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go out and find people and say, unless God tells you to do that. God tells you to do that, then honor God. But it's just been interesting to hear some of the things that God is doing. Somehow, God's making sure people find us. You know, it's not the other way around. We don't have to go out seeking. God's put them right in our lap. And we just have to be ready. Just have to be ready. And it's hard not to fall into that loop.
You know, I think too, or I've been caught in this thinking, okay, my goal is I gotta be like Paul or Peter or whatever. And I was just sitting here thinking, that is so wrong. Because they had a calling on them for what God wanted them for that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I want all the virtues of what they have, but it doesn't mean that I will necessarily go and do all the things they did, because that may not be what God's doing at this point. You know, when you read in Corinthians, I think, is it 12 that lists all the gifts? And there's a lot of different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all meant to be used by different people that are the body of Christ. And we haven't even used half of them yet. So what's going to happen when people start, God starts, you know, putting the gift on them and putting a spirit with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you know what? In the end, it's like Gene brought up about the people working. When you stand before God, if you just do what he wanted you to do, which was maybe... could have been possibly only one miracle, or maybe you only saved one soul. But if it was a soul he wanted saved and you were his handiwork, there's no difference in the end.
It's the same reward.
Yeah, same reward as Paul, Peter, anybody, you know?
And to your point, it's clear Paul and Peter were chosen.
Yeah.
They didn't decide to go out and do this.
No.
God chose
like a Paul for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. God chose him.
Well, Peter, you know, I was sitting and reading 1st and 2nd Peter, and I thought, and I'm reading these words, these inspired words, and I'm going, this is just a fisherman? This is a plain guy. Plain as me. Plain as most of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what beautiful words that God went through. You know, I mean, You read and you think, oh, this guy's, you know, like he's a scholar. He's a, you know, he's been teaching this stuff in the Word forever. No.
Man, it's amazing what a little anointing can do.
Yeah. And it says so strongly in one area, and this is the anointing that you have, all of us, are promised to have. Promised to have. And see, when that starts coming, look out.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't going to get any glory for it. You know?
No.
Right. No.
But it is going to be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's kind of a bad analogy, but if you think about it, right, it might make sense. But it only takes one match to burn down the forest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Right?
You know?
Or it takes one little spark to ignite the fire of God.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or a wind to blow on that.
Yeah, or a little
smoldering thing.
That's right. I love the fact of that little ember that's
uh-huh.
sitting there. And every one of us waiting for God to put the wind to flame the fire.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Joy, oh, that's going to be good.
Yes,
yes it will. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't.
And the revelation that it doesn't have to be a miracle. It may only be a word of encouragement to the one that God wants you to encourage at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he does with that, you know, will be perfect.
Sure might be.
That's
right. Right. You know.
Yep, sure might be.
I can actually somewhat see in the future being totally non-caring about anything of this world, about possessions or anything else. Totally sold out. You know? Just not, and relying on the Lord completely.
Age helps, I think.
Age
helps.
Yeah.
It does. And you know what else helps? Just huge, which we have really not experienced in this country very much or to an extent, but, you know, some they just lose everything.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's knocked over, this is off, they're in prison, they're in the, you know, well, who are they going to rely on? They're going to rely on the Lord. You know, remember that some of those stories about of whom the world was not worthy, and some of those, you know, personal testimonies of people. Yeah, they had nothing.
Right.
They ate grass.
They
trusted God.
You're saying that the whole group of people who have already been able to not count on their government, because they're already past that, because that doesn't work.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we're kind of mm-hmm. like, we're not quite there yet here.
We always think we're special.
There have been little tastes of this though in the past.
Yes.
You know, when I felt like I was willing to give everything up, God didn't require it at the time, you know, necessarily.
Right.
But he got me to the place where I was kind of willing. And then that goes away, of course. Speaking of me, anyway. Goes away and gets real distant. And it's just now that it starts to come back into focus a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it is a work of the Spirit, regardless of the whether circumstances might be whatever they are.
Right.
It's a work of the Spirit to really be willing to throw overboard everything but Him.
Yeah.
That's a work of the Spirit.
Yes, it is. It definitely is.
But think of that glorious journey. I mean, we all talk about how we feel when we first come to know Him, and we get in that mode, as you're saying, like, and that first happens, and we're just so focused and so excited and on this. And then we let the world just kind of beat us down, and, you know, comments that people make, like, they're newborns.
Yes.
Give them a year, you know, because it is so hard to stay in that place. If you're not seeking God and you're not getting the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you don't do that unless you stay after it. And, you know, as Brother Ken shared, it's looking like, you know, I kind of feel this coming back. And if you think about that, if you have gone from the experience of bringing the Lord into your life, and then you have diligently sought Him to the point where you can get that feeling back because you are seeking Him, that's where I want to be.
Restoration of first love.
I think the incredible part is now, with all this feeding of this word, it is so much gonna. It's got so much more substance to it.
It
foundation. I know I'm starting to have a foundation under me in the Word of God.
Right.
It's just fuller. I mean, it's just like. Because God has been, well, why shouldn't it be? Because over all these 20 years, He's been sharing little things about Himself, but with truth. That's what truth is.
Mm-hmm.
God is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And He's sharing these things, and we're getting to know Him a little better all the time. Each day, each little truth, you know, makes me just such an awesome God.
He is such an awesome God.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that Keith just listened to Him.
Yeah.
And took it and brought it to us and kept bringing it.
I think the difference now is that we're not looking to man for answers.
That's right.
Yes,
we're looking
right.
in the right place.
Yeah.
So now we're getting there.
And
this is the right place.
And we're so fortunate that look at all these Bibles down here. And then all the things we listen to with the Bible and all those things. I remember a story, I think it was probably communist Russia, but who knows, where a pastor or whatever was, in prison and whatever, and they had underground churches. And they would get, one page of a Bible. One page of a Bible, and they would be so thankful for it and read it over and over and share it. I mean, so we really have no excuse. We have no excuse.
No, they were spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah.
Which the enemy uses. I was, as we were sharing, I'm thinking, okay, we've got, now that we have this greater cornerstone to stand on, I think it's easier to stay on the path because we're not as easily distracted or deceived as we used to be. Not taking any glory, but with that foundation of the Word, and our background and our experiences, we can see things a little bit more clearly, and we're harder to be put off the track.
Yes, I agree. Not that we couldn't be, because the Bible says deceiving the very elect, but still, right.
Not to use it as an excuse, but spoiled, that's a big work to come out of that. That's as big a work as anything. So, when you don't have anything, it's either you are or you aren't. Forget. If you're spoiled, you got a lot of fighting to do. You got a lot of struggling to do to get out of that. And so, in a way, that requires a lot to come out of that. This good life and everything that we've had in America, that's a heck of a snare.
It is.
To get loose
of. It is. You are right.
There's a reason the rich princes, the rich rulers in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I get it. Yeah, it doesn't make it easier, but I get it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now I've had the benefit of being able to do this and this and this and this. And he goes, yeah. So where's your heart? When are you going to sell out and forget this world? It's like, oh, man.
The verse I just read not too long ago, Jesus said, and blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet will believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's us. That's everybody that followed after, So he's put more blessings on that because you weren't able to be right with him, as a lot of them were. God blesses that when your faith has that. That creates a great faith. That creates faith, period. That's the whole thing,
He does give us reasons to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had that they haven't seen him, and yet they have seen him. He said, "You've seen me," and it's kind of like the thing about whatever you see him do something, you see God. You see a miracle, you've seen God, even though you didn't see God.
Right.
And because it didn't, like the thing with Jerome. The doctor asked him, he said, well, what do you think happened? He said, I think that that God healed me. He said, well, I can't accept that. And I'm thinking, you guys have been working on, you've been working on him for 10 years. And the thing you couldn't do is now done. Who did it? And it's like, that's a stubbornness.
Yeah.
I want to read this one scripture again. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, is this not what God is doing in us?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
Because isn't the mind the focal point of what we are,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Is that what the scripture says?
Yeah.
It's a great, great promise that you can have a renewed mind.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. But and the thing I'm saying, by hearing the word of God over and over and over, it has to renew your mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's why all that's been shared here this morning is a result of that.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
It is definitely a result of that, renewing minds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had my battles lately, but you know what? God is bigger than the battles.
Amen.
And I...
And they're temporary.
Yeah, I never get a cold, but a few days ago I did. I never get a cold. And that's why I got this nose strip on the top, you know.
So you can breathe, huh? Yeah.
And just to kind of open up the passages a little bit. And but I'm doing good. This whole thing has done a good thing for me. Hmm. I thought the other night. I thought I don't think I'm going to make the night. And I did. And which is obvious.
And once again, God knew.
Yeah. But I couldn't breathe, and there's nothing worse than not being able to breathe. And no matter what I did, I couldn't breathe. You can only breathe through your mouth so long without a dry throat, you know. But anyway, so then I convinced myself that I was running out of oxygen. And
Satan, get behind me.
Well, I spent a number of nights where I didn't even sleep. And scared the crap out of me, you know. And but anyway, I made it, and I got this little device borrowed from Corky that let me know that I got oxygen, and my heartbeat is normal. And my brain's not quite normal, but
that's some device Corky gave you.
We're zeroing in on the problem area.
Yeah. But anyway, so if they come up with something, if you have anything that helps your brain, let me know.
You know, I just love where Paul says, he talks about the light affliction and the stuff we go through.
Speak for yourself, Paul.
Well, you know, he may have had a sense of the weight of glory, you know, compared with the weight of glory. No, when, you know, there's times it sure does not feel like a light affliction. But I think nonetheless, compared with that weight of glory, it is a light affliction. Not to make light of it, but...
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. You know, if you can keep that vision that, you know, whatever it is, compared to what the parent promises, it's like, yeah, this is really not good. But
yeah,
compared to the promise.
I don't know, I haven't seen everybody's back yet, but I don't know if I've seen 30 or 50 strikes of whipcord.
Right.
Right. Have you checked my back lately?
I always think there's somebody worse off out there than me.
The devil has licked me over a little bit.
So I get really start to feel bad. I just kind of ask myself, do you think you're taking over Job's place? I mean, you know, what's the deal?
And then
I'm brought right back to the earth going, you know, why are you complaining?
To have prayer for our friend Connie and Betsy and Dawson still.
What's with Dawson?